Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Politobabble. I'm Samuro, and today we'll be doing Revolution.
I think you forgot to introduce
us there, Sam.
Who are we?
Today
I am Sam Rowe. It's just Sam Rowe here.
Sam Rowe.
Sam Rowe is all you need.
It's the Sam Rowe show.
Hello and welcome to the Sam Rowe show. I am today joined by...
Brescia with an EY.
Archie or Archibald with an E.
And Ewan McClellan, because people can somehow spell my name correctly and not yours.
It's Ewan, it's quite easy. If you had a U in your name, it might be.
If it was the Ewan. But it's ew.
Very cool.
Nice and easy to remember.
It's Ewan.
Already it's gone so wrong. That's very funny.
What do you mean? It's going great.
If you didn't see, Sam just messed up the intro.
What?
No, there's no mess up.
You messed it up twice.
What did I do wrong?
This is why we should have Archie on the desk all the time, Sam.
Yes, Sam. You need to let Supreme Leader Archie back onto the
desk. I think we should just carry on.
I thought that was very, very nice.
What do you eco-Tory, Brescia? Come on.
Eco-Tory,
basic stuff.
Sorry. My apologies.
Well, there's nothing more conservative than to conserve the environment. I'll say that once again.
You need to stop saying that, Archie. It makes me very sad.
It's fine. I will destroy you with my facts and logic, Sam.
Makes me cringe so hard.
As the Ben Shapiro says, Ewan loves me saying that. So
Ben Shapiro.
He's not Ben Shapiro.
I'd also like
Sharpie.
For the record show, Archie did just say he'd destroy me. Moving swiftly on.
This is a family show, Sam.
Yeah, that's why I moved swiftly
on.
So I
think it's worth just addressing. We had a few complaints last week about specifically what we'd said. And we would. I think it's just worth us reiterating that, yes, we're sorry that we didn't do our due diligence on that one. That's our fault.
Thank you for writing in.
Thank you for the complaints. We're glad you brought it to our attention. It was the details of basically how one acquires firearms and what we were talking about there.
And then onto the Second Amendment.
I would like to say, don't ever get your information from us. Do your own research. We are literally four teenagers.
And we did stress that in the episode.
Yeah.
We would also say if you do have complaints, please...
Email them to us.
Email them straight to us in
or
every DM episode.
Us, Facebook.
Every episode we put in our information. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to get on
at
to us.
Babble
Lots
on
of
everything.
People have. Don't go through Manx Radio.
Well, you can.
Cool, Manx.
If you feel and you struggle to remember our stuff, go through Manx Radio. It doesn't matter. It gets to us all the same.
But obviously, it's just easier a bit more hassle.
You can contact us on Manx Radio, but it's easier on us if you contact us. However, either way, we do appreciate feedback.
And we will respond as well.
And we apologise for the misinformation. And of course, we'll endeavour in future to continue with our correct information out there.
To do our research beforehand. Yes. And in that effort, we're doing Revolution this week, which is like my favourite bit, even though this is Sam's episode.
Where we can revolt and Ewan goes out the window.
That's who we're going to be revolting with.
Yes, Archie. When the revolution happens, it will be me going out the window, not you.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. You are leaving in 2 weeks. Yeah. Even,
We will literally...
Leaving through the window.
The window. It's true. I can say goodbye to Ewan through the window.
So this is actually a two-parter. Yeah. It's our first two-parter. So
exciting.
I thought the first two-parter would be on Margaret Thatcher, if I'm being 100%.
Yeah. Thankfully, Brescia, we've managed to avoid that one, and we will continue to avoid that one.
Season three.
I will be talking about Margaret Thatcher and how much I
love
her.
Just to be clear, that's all of season three. It's just
Margaret Thatcher.
Honestly, the argument that we would have about Margaret Thatcher would take up 10 episodes.
So you can join us next week for our episode about reform.
Next week is my episode. It'll be reform. It'll be reform.
It
will be reform. So we're going to talk about revolution this week, then go on to reform.
And it sounded like Blair's education from last week. Education, except it'll be reform.
Archie stealing my pun from the education episode.
Anyway,
Sam, you want to...
Yeah, so we're going to just start off the episode by actually talking about what revolution is and what a revolution is, because it's a word that gets thrown around a lot in politics, and it's kind of misused quite a lot. So... And Ewan is already smiling. I'm sure you have a beautiful
What is a revolution, and also what is a revolution?
I meant more like...
I understand, sir.
Anyway.
Still going to make fun of you for it, though. So
that doesn't sound like the podcast.
Isn't this a safe space?
Yes. And you're in, it's just as usual, Wikipedia. Look.
I must say, I liked his definition earlier he showed us from his EPQ on Revolution.
Wait, but have you actually gone to Wikipedia rather than your own one?
Wait, he was just about to. And now, no. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly go to Wikipedia again. Okay.
We have done our research beforehand. Yes. Insert you in typing.
In this one, we actually have. For the context of an EPQ, basically...
You guys did research?
Yes. For one of my qualifications in sixth form, I wrote a paper about Revolution. So I've got it here. I'm not going to lie. I wrote an apparently very good definition of Revolution. I'm going to... I don't know whether you want me to read it out, because it's kind of long-winded, but I can do it, like, verbatim.
Just do the simple one, which you got from Wikipedia. It's very... easy to understand.
So, Google tells me that revolution is the instance of revolting. Thank you, Google. Very cool.
It is.
So, I quite like the very concise one they give on Google, which is a forcible overthrow of a government or social order in favor of a new system.
But it's not always, as we saw in the case of Mao's cultural revolution in China, necessarily a revolution of government. It can be other political systems which you revolt against.
I don't... Because there's so many different ways one could talk about revolution, and I really struggled with this when I was writing my EPQ, was, like, how does one describe it? Like, because it's such a complicated idea, and it can mean so many different things to so many different people. So I think it's fair to say what we're going to be talking about this week is going to be the...
political revolution.
The classic, in air quotes, revolution. Yeah. What one thinks of when they think of revolution, stuff like guillotines and
the communist
mass revolts.
Yeah.
Communist revolution.
And storming the Winter Palace and arresting Alexander Kerensky. Yeah. All that sort of stuff.
Or
all that fun stuff.
Even though Kerensky had left, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got what you mean.
Very cool, very cool.
Thank you, Archie, very cool.
Sorry, if you haven't noticed, if you can see in our cameras, which Ewan seems to like looking into, if you can see our cameras with the window, it is quite dark outside, so we are recording a bit late. But the windows are tinted as well.
It is 7 p.m. I am going out drinking after this.
Yes, with my brother. Shout out Philip again.
Shout out Philip.
But which we don't condone drinking.
We do
because I'm 18 and I can do so.
Ewan does.
Drink responsibly, however.
Yes. Mm.
Which Ewan does not.
Which, as we on the podcast have seen when I missed an episode, I do not. Yeah. Anyway, getting back onto revolutions.
Okay. We want to start off by talking about the Arab Springs, yeah?
Oh, I mean, we can.
Or do we want to go more on what revolution?
I mean, we can probably start off with, like, the history, if you want to, and give some context to people. About, like,
history of revolutions is very bloody and a bad one because it usually ends in kind of a usually is accumulation of kind of a civil war, rioting, and it's usually quite violent.
Yes, in the past, revolutions tended to be very violent affairs. I'll make no illusions about that. It's always been a very bloody affair, even from like the first ones. So I guess we'll probably take it back to 1776 because the American one's probably the classic revolution. It's the cool one.
It's also referenced a lot in current politics. Yes. Like if you look at the US election, it's both parties will draw on founding fathers and the revolution as kind of their like this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, it's the Civil War. It's the American Revolution and the American Civil War. You're either talking about Washington or Lincoln.
Yeah.
Or both.
Which I do in my A-level history, so very fun.
Yeah. No one cares.
Thank you, Archie.
Maybe Brisha doesn't, but I'm sure other people do, Brisha. Thank you. No,
me looking for when I asked.
No, I think A-level history is good fun. We cover quite a lot of revolution.
Archie, you've
all
been
all
in sixth form for 2 days.
It's fun. It's fun.
I have completed sixth form and I can
and
attest to what Archie's
fun.
Is saying.
Yeah. Everyone I know does it.
Yeah.
Finds it fun.
Just because everyone else does it, Archie, doesn't mean you should too.
That is very true.
So,
yes. You've all watched In Between Us. I haven't. You know, perfect example.
Can everyone just bully Archie on social media into watching The In Between Us?
Because
he hasn't.
You're now asking people to bully me.
Yes.
Crikey.
We're inciting
violence. It's for your own good, Archie.
You're inciting violence. I'll be...
Oh no! I didn't say attack you. I said bully
you,
Archie.
It's true.
Archie,
I just like send you a bit of hate mail.
Archie, have you not had those bullying talks in school where it's like there are 7 different types of bullying?
Oh yeah.
This one is verbal. I want them to cyber bully.
Before the podcast comes out, it's pro bullying. Let's get back to the American Revolution.
Where they basically bullied each other.
Speaking of bullying, the Americans were bullied politically by the British.
Mm. As they should. But...
Okay.
That is a joke before people cancel me.
Everyone at Breach.
Hashtag, oh no, we can't cancel you, Breach. We can only cancel Ewan here, because Ewan's name, what's perfect.
Don't make
it.
The joke. Anyway,
Ewan, do not cancel.
I hate you so much. Right.
We're going to move on.
Get to Revolution. We're just slow to start today.
Revolution's got a complicated history. There aren't tons of revolutions you really need to know about to start talking about modern ones, to be honest, because it's such a fluid idea. I think as long as you get the touchstone of the Russian Revolution, the American Revolution, and the French Revolution, you're down. The French Revolution being the most important one in my perspective, to be honest.
I think the French Revolution is probably for us as well, because living in Europe is... You can't, even if because the French Revolution was unsurprisingly in France, but it has influenced every country across Europe. It's not something you can avoid or escape.
Mm. And most of these historical revolutions, so we take the French Revolution, for example, and the Russian Revolution of the 1917, they were there to overthrow a monarchy. So I think that applies again to the American...
Fingers crossed, guys.
To the American Revolution, where they're trying to overthrow the British rule, which was...
No taxation without representation. Although, interestingly, when the revolution started, they were actually they were just looking for the British to lower taxes, but King George, being King George, was like, nah.
Yeah. I think we should just have no taxes and representation. I think that would be the ideal
scenario. Thank you,
Archie. Did I hear ANCAP?
I think I heard ANCAP.
No, there's always going to be some sort of tax, but not high.
Anyway. Okay, thank you, Archie.
So close, but yet so far.
So... I mean,
I'm not Philip yet.
These are very complicated things for us to sort of boil down to talk about here, because like I've done A level history. We did the French and Russian revolutions, and it took us like an entire academic year to go through these. They're so complicated and messy and weird, and that is really the nature of revolution. It's always complicated and messy and weird, and there's always stuff that people do different and stuff that people do the same. Mm. You can always draw both similarities and differences between anything, but especially revolution, like, they're always unique to the country that they're in. Mm.
And as you could tell probably from our episode last week, Guns and Stuff, Ewan wanted to arm the proletariat, which is the fancy name for the working class, and those under the bourgeoisie, which is kind of the social elite.
For the bourgeoisie.
I love Archie explaining the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, thank you. I have read the Communist Manifesto.
And yet he's still opposed to it.
Yes, because I read it and thought, how ridiculous is this?
Clearly he didn't read it thoroughly enough.
But Ewan is, I guess, quite pro these revolutions.
Well,
in fact.
I think that's a really good place to start. It's sort of our opinions on revolution. So, since
Ewan,
you passed it to me.
So...
Revolution for me is a very complicated one, and I haven't made my mind up on it yet. In fact, to be fair, the way I concluded my EPQ was basically, revolution is justified when all of when all of the means of enacting social change have run out, when you've reached sort of the end of everything you could reasonably do otherwise. I think it's still a tool that can be used as a last resort. Yeah. However, I do think violent revolution should be avoided. If when we're talking about like mass protest in the streets, is still a revolution. I think but violent revolution would be a last resort. Other than that, I'm down.
But the thing is, one could also argue that kind of the coups which we see within kind of the sub-Saharan African countries and also in the Middle East, where the military chooses to take over the country, that could be viewed as a form of revolution.
Oh, it is a form of
which
revolution.
Isn't, obviously,
there is a big
difference. Popular demand.
Revolution doesn't have to. It is often through the majority of the country, but
proletarian.
It doesn't have to be.
And even if you have a revolution such as the Russian Revolution, for example, yes, we see a large group of people supported it, but you equally don't know, there could be those who are silent and are just like, I don't want to get involved, I don't oppose the violence, I don't want to be killed.
It's a complicated thing, and there's no right answer with revolution. However, like, when I say revolution can be justified, let me make it 100 like abundantly clear that I mean proletarian revolution, and when I say that, I mean majorities. I mean people, like lots of people marching in the streets. Coups are never going to be
my
thing.
We're not Elon Musk. We're not going to say we can coup whoever we want.
Well, yeah, that's why he's going to put chips in your brain so he can control you.
Of course.
That's what
Archie, do you want to give your... I mean, I guess people can kind of guess where you're going to come from, but if you want to give a brief...
If you couldn't guess already, I feel, especially within the Western world of democracy, in the East, kind of in the non-Western form of democracy, obviously, revolution is sometimes still needed where the democratic processes aren't in place. But such as the Western world... So take the United Kingdom, for example. I don't feel there would ever be a need for a revolution there. There are means of which to elect a government which will do what you want. There's not a restriction on that, and the government will move out after, you know, their term's ended and they've been voted out. They're not... They don't just say, I'm staying, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Well, we're yet to see that, at least.
I actually want to agree with that, yeah. I think.
And if we see, for example, the United States...
The United States, we need a revolution now. Well, I'll disagree with this one.
But the president can be elected, and the president is not necessarily a country. He can't do everything himself. He can do an awful lot, but there are means to remove him, and there are means to vote people in. You can vote in the Senate, and you can vote in the House of Representatives, and they can go and impeach the president if they want, and remove him from office.
Exactly. They should try...
But the problem is, the checks and balances allow the system to stay in place.
The problem is that the House of Representatives and the House of Congress are full of... not very nice people.
Well, actually, the
expletives I would use to describe the people who were involved in the impeachment process could not be put on air.
Because the House of Representatives was actually a Democratic majority, and they voted to impeach. The Senate is the one which said no.
Yep.
Okay. It's checks and balances.
And we won't go too far into the US system, because that is an episode.
That is an episode.
But basically, as long as there's democratic processes in place, there's no need to revolution except to allow democratic methods. Take the Russian Revolution, for example. There weren't those Democrats.
Still go. Okay. Thank you, Archie.
Long breath.
You don't. Can I just say, Archie's was a lovely answer, a long answer. Don't feel like
I can't remember the question now, Sam.
I'm for revolution.
Am I on revolution?
Yes, I think.
ANCOM.
Now, no, I'm an anarchist.
Yeah, you're an ANCOM. That's what I just said.
Okay, right. I thought you said ANCAP. I was like. Anyway,
ANCOM is an anarchist communist.
Anarcho-communist.
He wants to get rid of the state and implement communism.
This is the face of the Antifa boogeyman.
Yeah.
It's Brescia.
Hello.
That made no sense to me, Ewan. Words. Just
I'm shocked. Something we said relating to pop culture flew past Archie.
Anyway, Brescia, revolution.
Thank you.
Where do you stand on it?
I'm for revolution. I think you should always revolt against something that oppresses you. However, I disagree with the fact that there shouldn't be a violent revolution, plainly and simply because, obviously, yes, it should be a last resort. I'm not saying let's go and kill everyone for the sake of revolution. I'm saying...
We're a satanic cult.
You hear more about... a bomb going off in the cause of, like, you know, equal pay. That's not a thing. I'm just using this as an example. You'd hear more about that than a march going on about equal pay.
Sure.
Yeah. Because there's fatalities and there's, you know... Obviously, I'm kind of stuck in between whether I agree with violence to prove a point or get your voice, like, spoken, but... Because I feel like that's just a bit mean to...
Say what you want about violence.
It works.
It gets it done.
Yeah. It's that thing of actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
But also other people can take action.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky balance.
And actions speak louder... Yeah. I'm not endorsing violent revolution, but I mean, like, take a look at the BLM movement recently. Like, BLM was small fry until they started rioting.
Yeah.
Mm. And now they've got the attention of the president. Yeah. Whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, I will not comment on, because to be honest, I don't want to get into that. But what you can't not acknowledge the fact that violent revolution gets attention.
Yeah. And I would just like to say, we're not inciting violence on any level. Do not message us in being like, you teens, why are you
endorsing...
getting people to fight?
Whoa. You want violent revolution? This is the anarcho-communist teenagers at it again.
No, we're not calling for
violence.
And I just sit here saying, yes, hello.
Archie
Extinction Rebellion member Archibald Elliot.
who's an anarcho-communist, obviously.
To be fair, Extinction Rebellion is one of the few times where I actually kind of, you know, I think... They might actually have a point.
But the thing is, there's that's another example of a more peaceful, peaceful and very non-violent action for
civil
revolution.
Disobedience. Civil disobedience. I think that's a really good one.
But I will draw the line where they start to then, for example, they blocked an ambulance, for example, and then in London, and then they block a tube train, which then stops commuters getting to work, even though they do it for publicity, even though a tube train is what you want the people to be taking.
I feel like that's harmless violence. That's not really
violent. I assume you're talking about the tube.
Not the ambulance. That was definitely
harmful.
Yeah. Well, obviously, they aren't there to create violence. I think that's brilliant. Yeah. It's exactly what we need, because you should be able to have open debate without the fear of, I'm now going to I disagree with these rioters, I can't say anything, I'll stay indoors, I won't give my opinion, because otherwise I'm just going to be taken out, I'll be kind of dragged through the streets, as you saw in violent revolutions.
As you should be, Archie.
Such as the communist revolution of 1917.
Okay, so when you talk about the communist revolution in 1917, assuming we're talking about the October Revolution and not just the Civil War. Because that was a coup. There wasn't a whole big movement. The big movement was in March. So, the March Revolution, that was big and violent. That was or even the 1905 Revolution, because contrary to popular belief, there were three different Russian revolutions in the span of 20 years.
I would just refer to them as the Russian Revolution.
So it is very easy to just refer to it as the Russian Revolution. So 1905, that was big. That was massive. Moscow was shelled, and like 1,000 people died roughly for them to stop rioting. March 1917, which was not the communist revolution, that was when in March 1917 the Russian people kicked off and the Tsar abdicated. He was not forced out, he abdicated. His generals intercepted his train on the way back to Petrograd at the time, St. Petersburg today. It was Petrograd at the time. They intercepted his train and they were like, you need to resign. That was the big violent revolution, and even then, soldiers turned on soldiers and policemen on rooftops with snipers and stuff. The Bolshevik Revolution, they stormed the Winter Palace and arrested the government. There wasn't much fighting there.
But they did go and shoot the Tsar.
However, the shooting of the Tsar was during the Civil War.
Yeah. Yes.
The reason the Tsar was shot was because they couldn't keep him prisoner anymore, although there is talk of Lenin technically ordering it. We don't know.
Yeah, it's hard because That whole side of history, there is so much misinformation and stuff we just plain up, straight up don't know.
I would say, Archie, a better example for that one would be the French Revolution.
Oh, it's another example.
The terror during the French Revolution was bad. There are some absolutely horrible anecdotes that I don't really want to repeat here, but
we won't go into too much detail.
There was a lot of the sans-culottes are kind of. I'm just going to go on a bit of a tangent here and just talk to you guys about proletarian revolution,
because
it's a really interesting tangent based. I'll keep it brief, though. So basically, during the French Revolution, when you think of all of the big action going on, that was the sans-culottes.
All the singing.
I must say, Les Miserables.
Yes. Yeah. Les Miserables was not the 1789
No, but I say that.
Oh, was it
if you do want a good thing to watch, it is brilliant, I must say.
I'm Ed told it's good. Anyway.
They had a good one here on the island, actually, to mention, bring the island into it. They had one at the Gaiety.
Because we don't talk about the island.
They also had a really good revolution on the island.
Anyway.
We're going to talk about
the French Revolution.
All of the big actions that happened in the French Revolution, most of them anyway, were done by the sans-culottes. That translates to without breeches. It was basically the workers, the working class in the cities. So the storming of the Bastille, the march back, the March of the Fishwives, even the terror was mostly carried out by the sans-culottes. All of the big, murdery, violent bits of the French Revolution are usually the sans-culottes.
Violence is not good. We do not condone violence.
And Ewan, what are the sans-culottes, for those who don't know?
Yes, Ewan, tell us. Enlighten us.
Say it again.
Just to remind everyone, including Breachy, who clearly was not listening to me.
To be fair, we did just... It was a tangent. Yeah, we're tired. Sorry,
I'm going to be honest, Ewan. You went on for ages and I forgot we were talking about the French Revolution.
Really quickly, give us a definition.
Long spiel.
The workers, artisans, translates to without breaches.
The proletariat, in effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will now give my view on revolution. Really
Thank
quickly.
You, Sam.
Sam, what's your view on revolution?
obviously, I think I've taken a little bit of Breach's and a little bit of Ewan's and ignored Archie's because...
Thanks,
Archie's,
Sam.
As per usual, Archie is irrelevant.
I think you mean extremely irrelevant and totally great.
But... Okay. Shut up.
There are instances in which I believe Violent Revolution are not just the course of action you should take, but the one you need to. There are certain situations, you know, and you can draw so many periods of history. I think if you look at Imperial Russia before the kind of period of revolutions, it did need one. That was a regime that was at the end of its rope and as a result was resulting in the deaths of millions of people. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that everything that happened in the revolution was good, but something needed to change. I would also say if you look at something like Nazi Germany, obviously a peaceful revolution, like if people like blocked trains in Nazi Germany, that's not going to go down well.
That's instantly being shot.
You just get shot. So that is an instance in which violent revolution is necessary. Now, again, and I'm also... I get what you mean, Archie. There's a lot of countries in Western Europe that probably don't need a violent revolution. I wouldn't say that there are no countries in Europe that currently could do with a revolution.
Belarus.
Belarus is a prime example. And even in Western Europe, if you look at... something, and we didn't even mention this earlier, and I can't believe I forgot. If we look at like the yellow vests in France,
oh yeah,
that for a while that was what was going on in the world.
Yeah,
and even in the UK, Archie, with things like, you know, there's massive problems with poverty and economic and social inequality, and loads of issues. And while I agree, if you can solve these problems through peaceful means and reforms, that's good. But for the people who are actually experiencing them, for the people who are suffering them, it's very easy for us to say, oh no, you should just be peaceful.
Do you think that there is a need for violent revolution within Western countries such as the UK, such as France?
You would have to go on a case-by-case basis.
Would you though? Because there are, you agree, democratic process and the ability to process peacefully. And you won't, if you process peacefully, you will not then be arrested. You will not then...
Can I point out for the benefit of everyone? Sorry to interrupt you, Archie.
Please do.
Most violent revolutions start out peaceful. The 1905 Russian Revolution started out because there was a massacre outside the Winter Palace when a bunch of people went to present a petition to the Tsar. The French Revolution did not start out peacefully.
Most revolutions start out peacefully.
But most of them do. However, the French Revolution is a bad example. The American Revolution did stuff like the Boston Tea Party. It took stuff like the Boston Massacre when a bunch of people were shot by the British.
What we're saying is revolutions tend to escalate. It's not a 3-2-1 go, everyone kill everyone.
Yeah, the Arab Spring is a really good example of that as well.
Yeah.
Or Hong Kong.
Yeah. God, there's so many things going on.
There's so many different revolutions to talk about.
And this is, I think, why it's an important topic, because wherever you live in the world, revolutions in the past have affected you, and revolutions now will also be affecting you.
But if you take...
unavoidable fact. And also, I would just like to address the question you put about Western countries. I will use the Western country as the example, the United States of America.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
Which...
I think we can all agree.
We can all agree the United States as a country has gotten to a place where something has to give. It's essentially two sides pushing against each other and someone's going to snap.
Yes. I can see your point. I agree that something does need to change. But
Archie, we're not saying it needs to be a violent revolution.
My question was, does it need a violent revolution? Not obviously, you could have a revolution.
In an ideal world, there would never be a violent revolution because you'd never need a revolution. But I'm saying there are feasibly countries in Western Europe and the United States of America, and also I would say, I know they're not Western, but across Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and South America as well, that it may come to a violent revolution. If you look at the leaders in these countries, if you look at Donald Trump and numerous right-wing dictators that have popped up around the world, they're not just going to go, they're blocking trains? Well, I better resign, boys. This ain't going to work.
I mean, take a look at how Trump has responded to the BLM marches.
Yeah.
This is going to be a controversial opinion. Here's a warning. This is simply my opinion.
This is
anecdotal. But what I hear from a lot of people that have been on the ground in the BLM marches, you know, the ones that have turned violent against the police. It happened because of what they're marching against, the overly militarized American police force, going back to the monopoly on violence thing from last week, is that the reason these turn so violent is because the police turn up and start using violent tactics against protesters.
Yeah.
I am not blaming just the police, the protesters as well. I think there's There's no right side on either of this, so don't...
When humans are afraid that violence usually happens.
Yes, exactly. There's the fight or flight response. However, some of the marches that have been going on, a lot of the violence has been triggered by the police coming in. A really good example of that was Trump in Washington, D.C., when he went to that church with that photo shoot. And he called in federal officers to move people out of the way, and they did it really violently.
Well, I think,
Why did he do a photo shoot at a church?
Did you not see it?
Because he's super in with the evangelicals.
Yeah, basically, he went to take a there's video of it. It's really bad. But like,
I heard about the fact that he did a photo shoot, but I didn't know it was at a church.
It's outside a church which got affected by Black Lives Matter.
The priest was actually attacked by police on his way...
Oh no! Because they didn't know who's the they was actually there for a photo shoot. He does what the voters.
He was wearing this little dog collar. They were like,
Archie,
"Oh,
this is a bit of leather. Do you want to lick it for me?" Boot licker.
No! I'm saying the thing is, the problem obviously with populism is you have to do what appeals to your base. His voter base doesn't like Black Lives Matter, so he will not support it. He never in a million years support it if his voters don't support it.
I think in a country like America, which is very violent, central and violent-minded, you are going to have a violent revolution, and that kind of just is inevitable. I'm not condoning it. Please don't stab people. I'm just saying it probably will happen.
It goes back to that. If you're asking me, Archie, if I think violent revolution is going to happen in the West in the future, yes. I really do. I hope it doesn't.
We're not condoning it.
I hope our issues are all solved in a magical council meeting.
Peace and love.
Where we all give each other hugs and kisses.
Climate change will cause a revolution, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
Greta will lead it.
Either directly or indirectly, climate change will be the contributing factor to a revolution kicking off in the West.
California and all the way from California, I almost said California to Tesco's. California to Texas. Where the skies have physically, they just block orange with the smoke and the flames. It kind of sums up. And I would also say, because this links into something else we have discussed, Trump regarding... you know, mail-in votes in Colorado and places like that. He's actually making moves to make it harder for people to vote against him.
And he's also encouraging voter fraud.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to do this in current affairs because we're just going to have a Trump episode at some point. And we're going to talk about all the bad things he's done.
Hopefully when he's not president next year.
So I think that was kind of a bit on history. I think a really good thing to talk about now would be the Arab Spring.
Yes.
Okay. So
that's probably more history again, just for you.
Just a little side note. It's nothing to do with what we're about to talk about. But I always think of like Volvic Springs whenever you say that.
Yeah.
So very I'm just thinking things. Of some anyway. Nice, beautiful waterfall springs.
I'm so glad this is the direction the episode has taken.
Way back when, 2011. To explain it very briefly. Most of the Arab countries kicked off and had...
anti-government protests.
Anti-government protests, violent revolution. The effects of that are still being felt today with the civil wars in Yemen and Syria. I think Libya is just about wrapping up as well with their civil war.
It's coming to a close.
But as is Syria. Syria is on the brink at the moment.
Yemen, however. That's an episode.
Yemen's...
We need to take in Yemen refugees, remember some?
Oh my god. Oh, that is a reference to when we put a petition to Tynwald to see if we could take a very small number of Syrian refugees. It was to investigate whether we could take.
Yep.
And a certain member of the Manx government said... Why not Yemenese refugees? Oh,
amazing. That is great.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
We move.
F Syria. Me and my homies hate Syria. But yeah,
you said that. That's on you.
Basically, the people took to the streets. Most of them were either marginally or not very successful, with the exception of Libya. I'm pretty sure it was Libya when Muammar Gaddafi was killed.
I'm going to say yes, so that we can move on.
I've got my Arab Spring notes. I'll check them out. Right. Basically everyone kicked off, and it was sort of the big revolutions.
It was essentially what sparked instability was sparked by Western imperialism, but we don't need to go into that too much. Move on to current affairs.
Move on to current affairs
soon, but I think we can wrap this one up because this is a two-parter and it's only 34 minutes.
I said, if you haven't noticed already, we do tend to move on silently. The sound there was very... read out the message, Archie.
It's okay. I know that Archie likes us to seem smooth and professional, but no one who's watched this Archie will think we're smooth and professional.
No, not at all. You guys did have a go at me for looking at the cameras earlier. Anyway.
So...
Comment down below if this goes on Facebook and YouTube if you love Ewan looking in the cameras.
I do.
I don't think anyone does.
It's my favourite habit. No. I just because it really gets on Archie's nerves. Anyway,
it gets on all of our nerves.
You look into our souls, yeah. Ewan.
You too get annoyed by it, Sam. Do you get annoyed by it?
No, I don't mind it.
Sam, he looks into it. He's like,
I don't have a soul, so
the camera's not on mine. So when it comes on, it's on me.
It's fine. I think at some point we can just unplug. Well, you and me. Yeah.
Anyway, the Arab Spring. Really interesting, actually, because it was the first sort of modern. I mean, because like the last big one before that was the Autumn of Nations in the fall of communism in 1989, yeah. Often referred to as the Autumn of Nations. This was the big one for the 21st century. Mm.
And it has defined as not just internal affairs of Middle Eastern nations, but also external affairs of pretty much
everyone.
It's changed
everyone's
how the West perceives the East, and that's...
Yeah,
it's
and
kind
how
of
the East
focus.
Perceives the West as well.
Yeah.
A lot of...
in a good way or a bad way?
Both.
There are aspects of it that have been beneficial. It is demonstrated to the leaders of Middle Eastern nations that they cannot just do what they want.
Yeah.
However,
it has reinforced their ability to do so.
Has reinforced their ability. So, like, they were like, oh, people can do this. We better stop that from happening. So, it's a balance.
An interesting point, actually, that I was reading about when I was doing my research on the Arab Spring is that most of the people were, you know, complaining about it on social media, but the major action only took place when they shut down the internet.
Yeah,
so they couldn't complain about it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you complain on something,
I'm not trying to make any point with that. It's just an interesting thing. Maybe that's when revolutions start in the 21st century.
Here's a fun theory that do you remember like 2 weeks ago when the Wi-Fi went off in like pretty much half of Douglas?
The entire other man.
No.
We were affected.
I wasn't affected.
It was.
Thank you, Archie.
It was pretty much like the north of the island.
It's not. Yeah. The south was not unaffected.
For once, the south was not affected.
I know, it's surprising.
I heard a little theory that it was to stop people learning about the true reason of the coronavirus.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's really dumb. Mm. And anyone who thinks that is an idiot.
But obviously,
I can go on record. Yeah. Anti-maskers and people who believe the coronavirus is not real.
Fake news, Sam.
Totally ridiculous.
Weekly reminder that if you're an anti-masker or believe that coronavirus is a hoax, then you're dumb.
What's Boris saying? Sanitize, space, and mask.
I don't know. It's just another slogan.
We can talk about that. But Boris has come out with some amazing things.
Get Brexit done.
Yeah, he
also said Brexit was done.
I don't know if you saw the headline of him announcing no deal Brexit would be good for the country, but he has now actually done that.
Wait, has he endorsed it now?
Yeah, he said it would be a good result.
That's because they've not bothered with the deal. That's for current affairs.
No.
But let's just wrap up revolution because we're on like.
Oh, right. Sorry, Ewan. That was a cue there from us to say, shh, time to quiet down.
Yeah, right, but
shut up, Archie.
Why don't we closing statements on the Arab Spring in a moment?
Yeah. What about I just want to go for the last bit about what a modern revolution looks like, to be honest. I would have liked to have touched on Hong Kong, but obviously we've run out of time.
We can do that next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, what does a modern revolution look like to you guys was sort of the question that I had.
Brisha, do you want to start?
When I think of revolution, I think of banners and like groups of people and like, you know, maybe police being there with their little riot shields, you know, I don't know. And then like, you know, the government being like, we'll listen to you, but like, nah.
Okay. So pessimistic out. No, but that is interesting because I think a lot of the revolutions we've seen more recently have failed. So I do understand that.
Yeah,
that's because they haven't been violent towards government.
This is true, actually. I'm not saying that they should have been, but that is oftentimes why they fail. Go on, Archie.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because obviously we view of what we think a revolution is there to achieve is kind of the view of the Western world order, in effect. Henry Kissinger wrote a brilliant book on it. It's quite heavy, so if you don't like heavy reading,
still recommend it.
I do recommend it. It's called World Order.
obviously. But that's what we're there to achieve. And if you see other forms of where there weren't needs for revolutions before, kind of, we created this Western world order in places such as Africa, but obviously with colonialism it happened. I don't feel we need modern revolutions as such.
Did a Tory just admit colonialism happened?
What? Ooh, so someone get that on clip. Yeah. Can we clip Archie talking about colonialism?
Can I just say something?
Can I just clarify the fact that I didn't say that?
You can't deny that colonialism didn't happen because it's
you
history.
Can just say that it was good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was a joke.
Anyway,
Archie.
Yes, no. But within the modern world, especially within the kind of the Western hemisphere, in the Western political system, there isn't the need for a violence revolution. We may have revolutions such as a technological revolution, but these are more based around the fact it's like an industrial revolution and other stuff happening. I don't feel there's a current need for revolution in the West. I think reform, as we're going to talk about next week, is a better option.
Okay. Has a go at me for waffling and then waffles. Anyway,
moving
on.
I was so close to having wrap it up on my thing. And yeah.
My view on how revolutions are going to occur these days, they're going to be mainly social media driven, as we've seen with Hong Kong and the Arab Spring.
Yeah.
They're going to be mass action. Coups are a thing of the past nowadays, to be honest.
Yeah.
Coups don't work because social media is a thing.
Hmm.
There's way quicker communication between people and coups kind of rely on that. Like, you may have a successful coup, but I think at this point, probably not.
Shut down the internet and the coup will be successful.
Shut down the internet and, as we've discussed with the Arab Spring, yes. People start protesting.
Because people like the internet, supposedly.
Yeah, exactly. If you start messing with the people, they will protest.
Anyway, Sam,
on the internet, you get
I will just stop. I think revolutions nowadays come through social media and mass action. Violent revolution, also probably a thing of the past with the sort of monopoly on violence that governments have.
Yeah.
It is hard to arm the proletariat if they're not already armed. Hmm. I think that's why America and similarly heavily armed countries are really the only place we're going to see violent revolution. The sort of thing you see in the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution, they are only possible in places where people are already armed.
Interesting fact with arming, in the original Bill of Rights in the UK, I think it's the 1660 Bill of Rights, they didn't allow Catholics to own the guns.
That's because...
It was Protestants at the time, obviously,
Boo.
Church of England and the King, so they didn't want a Catholic revolution.
Wait, did Archie just say that Catholics were discriminated against? Are we getting colonialism and Catholic discrimination in one episode?
We're making progress, boys.
What? Sam?
Really quickly, for me, a revolution is... It's, and again, we've kind of all said it, I don't want to repeat anything, but... It is mass action taken against an oppressive regime of some description. It is a push for change. I would often say a positive one, but sometimes, you know, it isn't. And I'll finish it there.
Yeah.
That's my
definition. Yeah. I guess move on to current affairs.
What's
now.
Happened?
Yeah.
Any more? Boris. Let's talk about
Boris. Yeah, you guys talk about
Sam?
Boris.
Bojo.
Big B.
We all know that Boris Johnson is not the brightest egg in the basket.
I know. I would strongly disagree. He may not appear the brightest egg in the basket,
I'm
but
shocked.
He does have a very sharp brain.
The thing is, Boris Johnson acts like an oaf, but he's actually a sociopath.
I'll rephrase. Yeah. We all know that Boris Johnson looks like he's not the sharpest...
Adult.
Sharpest egg in the basket?
Sharpest tool in the shed.
Sharpest tool in the shed. But he's... Anyway, he has come out saying that a no-deal Brexit would be a good thing for the nation. What do we all think of this?
Did he stutter?
I think that Boris Johnson has kind of, as per usual with this government, in my usual Tory rant of the week, is that they've gone in on a Brexit ticket, coronavirus has come up, and they've forgotten about Brexit.
Yeah.
Whether intentionally or unintentionally, they've forgotten about Brexit, they've not been negotiating with the EU...
I would just stand to correct you there. It's not been in the mainstream media as such, but the Brexit talks have been continuing through coronavirus, and I think they're on the seventh round of talks starting.
Yeah, but either way, they've forgotten about Brexit, in my opinion.
It's
not been their focus.
It's not been the focus in the media, but it does exist.
It's not been the government's focus, Archie. Anyway, because, you know, we have had a global pandemic for the past 5 months
now. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to hate on the government for, you know, not talking about Brexit for the past, couple months, because there has been, like Ewan said, a global pandemic they needed to focus on. But if they're just going to turn around and be like, well, you know, no deal Brexit doesn't sound that bad anymore, guys.
Is this U-turn 14?
It might be.
It's U-turn 14, guys. Another U-turn. Because they were like, yep, we're going to get a deal. It's going to be the easiest thing in the world. Mm. Now they're prepping us for no deal Brexit. It is yet another government U-turn.
Yeah. It's gone to the stage where the EU has actually said, listen, if you do this, there's going to be like sanctions and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is an unbelievable thing.
The EU, surprisingly, you know, the EU is our biggest trade partner.
What? No. Go figure.
I know, right?
That's crazy.
You wouldn't think it.
Yes, I can see your point, but the original government message was, we leave on the 31st of January without a deal or with a deal, and then we will leave the transition period on the 31st of December 2020, with or without a deal.
Were we told that a Brexit deal was the easiest thing in the world, actually? Were we or were we not? Was that something that the Tories said?
I'm sorry, I don't think in those exact words or that sense. No,
paraphrasing.
I haven't got the quote there, and I haven't. I don't have an expert on what the government has said or what they haven't said. But in regards to Brexit and getting it done by the 31st of December, they are doing a good job of it. And I think it's very strong in a negotiation stance to say, we are more than happy to just walk away.
Mm-hmm. Coming to a free trade agreement with the EU should be one of the easiest in human history because of our rules and laws are the same, the International Trade Secretary has said. Liam Fox.
Should.
Okay. Yes. So they should be pushing for a deal Brexit because it would be the easiest thing to do.
That was in 2017, not
when Brexit was still ongoing.
I know. Yeah.
And I'd like to put out what I think this shows is how hollow the Brexit cause was, because it wasn't pushed for the reasons it should have been.
Yep.
It wasn't pushed because of the real problems in the EU. That's not why. It was built and fueled by xenophobia and hate pushed by UKIP.
That is it based. That I'm liking this, Sam.
What was really that is what it was. Yeah. It wasn't honest.
That's how some aspects push, such as the UKIP. That's what exactly
and
what they
the
pushed
Vote Leave
from. But the Vote Leave campaign, they did push other aspects. Such
okay,
as the
but they mainly pushed greatly, the xenophobia.
The greatly bureaucratic nature of the EU. And I have to admit, they've said they're leaving, and they are leaving, and I give them to that.
Yeah, we're gonna make the jump whether or not we can stick the landing, boys. Because we're
point,
British,
we are along for the ride,
up
and
the boys.
It's time to get Brexit done.
Okay.
Oh,
I want to throw up.
Yeah, so
we're all fed up with
Boris's,
it now. Anyway,
Boris's new cheeky motto is hands, face, space, and you can't meet up in a group of six anymore. Sorry, guys.
That sounds like something the like Human Resources Department has emailed him.
Yes.
Thank you for reminding me,
the
Brescia.
Group of six, yeah.
I would just like to draw attention to Matt Hancock getting absolutely verbally torn to shreds in Parliament recently.
Been.
I think it was yesterday by Sir Lindsay
right.
Hoyle, and it was beautiful, honestly. It was one of the best bollockings in Parliament that I've ever seen. I'm sorry, there's no other way of saying
it's
it.
The perfect word
it was beautiful.
It.
Watching Sir Lindsay
it,
Hoyle just rip him to shreds was amazing. This was about the change in policy that Matt Hancock did not bring to Parliament, even though he knew it was going to be happening.
Basically, if you don't know, you cannot meet up in a group of
more than six.
And we're abiding by that rule
but
here.
People are... You can go back to school, can't you? You just have to wear your mask.
It's no more than six outside.
So outside of...
Inside buildings, apparently, it's fine.
Because
so
you can't catch it inside.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Indoors is obviously the least prone place to getting coronavirus.
Exactly. And, you know...
Thank you, government. Very cool.
I just... I really think they should have just said, like... They should have kept the 2 meters. Do they still have the 2 meters?
I think that social distancing is still a thing in the UK. They've not gotten rid of it.
I
should probably check up on this before I go to uni. But yeah,
I think everyone's just a bit confused. Boris should just do a cheeky little briefing where he's like, "You can he do this? You can he do that? You can do this? You can do that?"
I think that's what they did.
Well, they kind of did it yesterday, but it wasn't. I watched it and I was very confused. And they repeated like the same thing over and over again, but like they weren't explaining it.
Clarity
better.
Has never been this government's strong suit.
Yeah, if they make it clear, then it's made clear that they're idiots. Anyway, On the topic of coronavirus on the Isle of Man, we've had a case.
Yes, you said that as a good thing.
We're so excited. Guess who's back?
And I think what it's highlighted to me is how woefully underprepared the island is for another for a second wave, which will, mark my words, right now I'm placing money on it. A second wave will happen.
Not if we keep our borders.
Keeps throwing his money away.
Which we're not. Which
okay,
we're not.
I'll bet against you. You know,
how much do you want to bet? I'll give you a tenner.
If
£10.
We don't condone gambling on this podcast, by the way.
Let me speak. If the borders remain with a 14-day isolation,
which they are,
or a 7-day isolation with a test, and if you get a positive test, you have to carry on. There will not be any community transmission. It is virtually impossible.
Making it 7 days will... Maybe not 7 days.
There's a test at the end.
There will be, though. So, I'm putting money on it. Do you want to shake on that? £10?
Well,
£10 and there won't be a second wave of COVID.
Can you give a time period, please? Time period.
By mid-next year.
Mid-next year, sorry, a bit long.
I would go a second wave. October. I would say
October this year.
We can't predict that far in the future. We don't have a crystal ball right here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a shame.
Okay, so do you want to go for January?
I don't think Archie's backing out.
Archie's backed so far out of this deal, he's now into the other studio.
Archie
backpedaling so far, he's gone home. I don't think
we'll have hands, space, and what's the other one?
Face. Yeah. Hands, face, but, and space. I kind of like it.
Any listeners willing to bet £10 with me that there won't be a second wave on the Isle of Man, I will more than happily take you up on that bet.
Ewan just wants your money.
Yeah, at this point. I need it for uni.
Ewan is poor.
Only one listener, though, so you have to get to me first. You know, I'm not made of money.
No.
And I don't want to take too many people.
But
anyway,
if we go back, I think Sam is still due to lose £5 from his bet with... she said Trump will not win, and we're all confident.
Sam said Trump will win. We'll keep like a bets ongoing page on the Discord so people can keep up.
Yes, join our Discord.
I want to make it clear. I think he probably will, but I have to bet that he won't for my own soul.
For a little bit of hope.
I have to do that, guys.
If we manifest it, it won't happen.
Let's not go down that route.
I think that's a really good place to leave off for us today.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll be back next week with Reform.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be behind the desk again, and we'll probably have a mess up with the intro.
Yes, we've ever had.
You have that to look forward to.
We get the Ewan episode again.
Yes, they're the best episodes, Archie.
Mine was pretty good.
Yeah, Bruce's was better.
Sam, you wanna lead us out?
We've been...
Have you got the music up yet, Sam?
I have it ready just here.
Sam, have you got it up on Myriad?
Sam, have you got it up? Archie's doing his little shakes.
Can you play the intro music?
Yeah, Joe, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, no, it's empty. Never mind.
You can just drag it in. The code is 146 on Myriad. 147 for the outro.
You're exposing us now, Archie. Everyone's going to be using our music.
I'm stressing, it's not coming
pull
in.
It's on. Good night. See you later.
Hugs and kisses.
I can't hear it.
It's not on now. It turns off again.
There we go.
We've been Politibabble.
You've been Politibabble.
Hope you enjoyed the episode.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you've been Politibabbled.
Yeah, hugs and kisses.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. You're going to want to turn the microphones off.
Get rid of us.
We are still live. Yeah.